This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Again, greetings this morning, and welcome to our lesson today. We're glad you've tuned us in. If you'd like to contact me, again, you might want to get a pencil and a piece of paper out so you can write my mailing address and website address down at the close of the program. You can contact me either way. You can re-listen to the program on my website. You can read my weekly meditation on the website. And if you'd like to leave prayer requests, or if you would like to be on the free subscription list to Grace and Truth, the monthly magazine that I publish in from time to time, you'll need to contact me with the information to send on to them. So, again, you might want to get a pencil and a piece of paper out to write those addresses down at the close of the program. Now, today we're moving on into Acts chapter 17. Paul is leaving Philippi, where the Philippian jailer and his house was reached and saved, and now he's on his way to Thessalonica, and this is his trip through Greece after having been hindered in his work up in Turkey. He came over to Greece, heeding what we call the Macedonian call, the vision of a man saying, come over here and help us, and now he is opening the door of the gospel to the Gentiles in this area that we would call Greece or Macedonia, being one of the provinces of Greece. I just want to review for a moment what happened in Philippi. You'll remember how that he first went to a place where prayer was wont to be made. Prayer was one of the first things that was mentioned with regard to that work. Then Lydia, who was from Thyatira, a seller of purple, opened her house to him and apparently opened up her heart to the Lord. She did come to understand that this Jesus was the very Christ. We mentioned that she was likely a Jewish convert, but then there was a hindrance to the work, and there was a gal who had a familiar spirit or a spirit of divination who her masters were using to make money off of her, and when Paul cast that demon out, they ended up in prison. Now, ending up in prison wouldn't normally seem like the place where we would want to go if we were looking for a mission field, but Paul and Silas ended up in prison, and apparently that's where the Lord wanted them, and that was one of the things that had been opened up for them when they came over into Greece. And so they end up in prison, and they end up in prison so that they can reach a jailer, and we call him the Philippian jailer. And you'll remember last time that the jailer was concerned because at midnight there was this earthquake, and he thought the prisoners would have fled because the prison doors were open. But instead, Paul and Silas were there, and they told him not to do himself any harm because they had not fled. And then they preached him the gospel. He asked the question, what must I do to be saved? And there is no better answer than the answer that they gave him, and that is, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. Now, many read that to believe that when he was saved, his household was saved. But we noted last time as we went down through the passage that the gospel was preached to him, and the gospel was preached to all that were in his house, and he believed the gospel, and his whole household believed the gospel, and he was baptized to show that he had believed the gospel, and his whole house was baptized to show that he had believed the gospel. So the really encouraging thing about this story is that God often works in households. And we do see whole households that are reached and saved when the gospel is preached. Often, the gospel seems to be received by people who are related to each other. It may be a father who then passes the gospel on to his wife, or it may be the wife who tells her husband about the gospel, and then the children may believe, and they may have relatives that are also then open to the gospel. And while I don't believe that God chose certain people to believe the gospel, yet it is interesting that those people who often respond to it have been raised in families where there was a reverence for God, These Jewish people did have a reverence for God. They were worshiping Him in the best way they knew how. And so often in these families where there is a reverence for God, when they hear the truth, it makes sense to them, and the truth is received by many in those households. And so when I was raised, my father used to point out that in the Old Testament there was often a black sheep in the family, and there was often one person who never responded to the gospel. And you could look at Absalom, for example, in David's family, and perhaps we could find other examples of that. But when I look at Acts 16, I take courage in the fact that there doesn't have to be a black sheep in the family. And there doesn't have to be a long period of time between the gospel coming into the family and the whole household being reached. And so that's exactly what happened here with the Philippian jailer. But remember that no one is saved apart from the fact that they themselves believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And while there are some who would like to imply that there were infants in this household, if there were infants, they were old enough to hear the gospel and to believe the gospel. He believed these things with all his house who had heard the gospel. And so this does not change the basic truth of the gospel, that every person has an individual responsibility to respond to the gospel themselves. But it is nice to know that we as parents can believe that our whole family can and should be saved. We can't force them to believe the gospel, but we can be encouraged in the fact that the Lord has brought them into our families because He has an interest in their believing the gospel, and often the whole family does respond to the gospel because of the privileged position they have when the father and the mother in the family receive the gospel and believe it, because that makes it possible to teach the children the fear of God and to teach them the truth. Now, in Acts chapter 17 and verse 1, they have to leave Philippi now because of the persecution that has occurred there. And when they pass through Amphipolis and Apollonia, I don't know how to say those words, that's probably the poor English accent of a Greek word. Then they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. And notice again, Paul goes to the Jews. Then Paul, as his custom was, went into them, and for three Sabbaths reasoned with them from the Scriptures, explaining and demonstrating that the Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, saying, "This Jesus whom I preach to you is the Christ." And some of them were persuaded, and a great multitude of the devout Greeks and not a few of the leading women joined Paul and Silas. But the Jews who were not persuaded, becoming envious, took some of the evil men from the marketplace and, gathering a mob, set all the city in an uproar and attacked the house of Jason and sought to bring them out to the people. But when they did not find them, they dragged Jason and some brethren to the rulers of the city, crying out, "These who have turned the world upside down have come here also. Jason has harbored them, and these are all acting contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying there is another king, Jesus." And when they had troubled the crowd and the rulers of this, and they troubled the crowd and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. So when they had taken security from Jason and the rest, they let him go. Then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. When they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. Again, they went to the Jews first. And these were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the Scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. Therefore, many of them believed, also not a few of the Greeks, prominent women as well as men. But when the Jews from Thessalonica heard that the word of God was preached by Paul at Berea, they came there also and stirred up the crowds. Then immediately the brethren sent Paul away to go to the sea. But both Silas and Timothy remained there. So those who conducted Paul brought him to Athens, receiving a command for Silas and Timothy to come to him with all speed, and they departed. Now, isn't it interesting as you look at this passage that Those who do not believe are determined to make sure nobody else believes the truth. And it's interesting because I don't think that the Jews who were persecuting Paul really were persecuting him because they were afraid people would go to hell if they believed this truth. I think they were persecuting Paul because, as we read, they were envious. They didn't like the fact that they were losing their popularity. They didn't like the fact that they were losing their support amongst their ability to persuade the people in that area. And so you can see that they looked for an excuse to get rid of Paul, and they told half-truths. They said that he was preaching another king. He was preaching about somebody who should take the place of Caesar. Well, it is interesting that that was a half-truth, because there was another king, Jesus, but he was absolutely no threat to Caesar. He was now in heaven, and he wasn't there trying to destroy Caesar's earthly kingdom. And sometimes we don't make a distinction between the earthly kingdom and the earthly political powers in our day and the heavenly kingdom, which we enter into the moment that we are saved. But nevertheless, I look at this and I can see that there are people that respond, and there are people who not only don't respond, but they're going to make sure that nobody else hears the truth and responds either. And all over the world today, if you read the literature, you'll find out that there are areas where people are dying for their faith in the Lord Jesus. We don't have to do that here in the United States, but there are places around the world where people believe in angry gods, and where they are absolutely convinced that the converts can be made by force, and people who are trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ are being martyred for their faith. But the real issue that Paul dealt with, and he dealt with it in a simple way, and he dealt with it over and over again, is the same issue that we have to deal with in the gospel today. In verse 3 it says, he explained that Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead. And he said, this Jesus whom I preach to you is the Christ. That's the fundamental truth that we have to preach. It's still a question of what do we think of Christ. Is he the Messiah? Is he the Savior, both of Jew and Gentile? Is he the one that we can trust to save our souls for eternity? Is he the answer to sin? Or is he an imposter? And there are those Jews who would like to believe he's an imposter. And the only way we're going to be able to sort this out is if we are like the Bereans, who search the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. And that's what I encourage people to do. I encourage them to sit down with their Bible and at least read the Gospel of John. People tell me they don't believe the Bible. I say, have you read it? They say no. I say, well, read it so at least you know what you don't believe, because normally when they read it, they find out it is believable. Now, our Heavenly Father, we pray for thy blessing upon us today. Pray for thy blessing upon the program. We thank thee for thy love in our Savior's name. Now, our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Our mailing address, again, is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website is bdcministries.faithweb.com. bdcministries.faithweb.com. And we do thank you for listening.